This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, everybody who just came up this morning to Jikoji. Some of us here have been in a weekend retreat, studying a teaching of Dogen Zenji. Dogen was the teacher who brought Zen from China to Japan in the 13th century. And he wrote some amazing things that we've been studying this weekend. And so, you're stepping into the end of a retreat here. And today's teaching is finishing off this teaching of Dogen. But I think you don't need to have heard anything before this. It's a standalone teaching. Dogen's teacher that he practiced with in China, Tian Tong Rujing Chanshu, in Japanese, Tendo Nyojo Zenji, wrote a poem that Dogen, his student, really, really likes this poem. Dogen met his teacher and heard this poem. He was a young monk, 25 years old down there, and he was very impressionable and struck by the beauty of everything. So this is the poem of Dogen's teacher that then Dogen will comment on. It's about a wind bell. The poem is maybe called Wind Bell. So temples in China and Japan have these on the eaves, hang out over the wall, have these bells that have a little like tassel flag that when the wind blows, right, it makes the sound. And nowadays, many people have wind bells or wind chimes. And they make sound only when the wind blows. So this poem is about a wind bell. And it goes like this. The entire body, the whole body is a mouth hanging in empty space. Regardless of whether the wind comes from east, west, south, or north, it equally speaks prajna for others. Prajna is indescribable. Prajna, premium knowing. We could say timeless, boundless knowing is prajna. So regardless of whether the wind comes from east, west, south, or north, this mouth, equally speaks timeless, boundless knowing for the sake of others. Di-ding dong, di-ding dong. That's the poem, the four-line poem. The whole body is a mouth hanging in empty space. Regardless of whether the wind comes from east, west, south, or north, it equally speaks prajna, timeless knowing, for the sake of others. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. So the theme of this essay of Dogen is Maha Prajna Paramita, like what we just chanted, the Heart Sutra, and speaks of this timeless, boundless knowing. We could translate Sanskrit Maha Prajna Paramita as vast, perfect knowing. And we might think, well, this is a special kind of knowing that we can develop and acquire and increase. But sometimes the Zen teachers say, no, this is the kind of knowing that we all have already. It's just that we forget about it and we get distracted by particular content of knowing. We're knowing the sound of this voice. We're knowing the sights of the room. We're knowing the sensations in the body. You know, we're naturally knowing all that, but we fixate, we zoom in on the content of knowing, like the particular sensations, the particular colors and sounds. That's what we're most interested in. So we forget that all these sights and sounds and sensations and thoughts are happening in this big space of knowing. Isn't it easy to forget that? We're really into content. What's this guy talking about? And what is that sound? And what kind of bird is that? This is like the content of knowing. That's what we mostly pay attention to. But we can kind of step back and remember that all this stuff, all these experiences are happening in this big space called Prajna Paramita, vast, perfect knowing that we all naturally have right now. And if we start to examine, investigate this big space of knowing, we can come to see that although the content of knowing always changes moment to moment, there's a different sight, a different sound, a different sensation, a different thought, the space that they're happening in doesn't change. It's always the same space. We might then wonder, well, where is this space? What is this space? Can we get a hold of this space? How can we describe this space? But just like the space in the room, we can't get a hold of it. We can't find it. The space of the room is also unchanging. No matter how many things you take into the room or take out of the room, the space of the room is just still the same space in the room. And the space of the room doesn't really end at the walls of the room, right? It actually extends boundlessly. Here we're talking about physical space is timeless and boundless. But this is like a very good analogy for the timeless, boundless space of knowing or awareness. This one that we're all sitting in right now. In fact, we might assume that each of us has our own space of knowing, but if the space of knowing is timeless and boundless, how can you have a bunch of different boundless things? They would all coincide. They would all overlap. So even though it sounds a little bit far-fetched, maybe we could open to the possibility that the vast, perfect, timeless, boundless space that we're of knowing, of awareness, is the same one that we're all sharing. But the content is totally different. Could be. These are the kind of things we can investigate during meditation if we're bored of sitting and not doing anything. We can start to wonder, what is this spacious knowing that's always with us? So this poem is kind of about this. The entire body is a Zen way of saying, like, our true self, the whole body, not our physical body, but the entire body that we are. One of the Zen teachers who is commenting on this essay, Uchiyama Roshi, defines this whole body as the non-separation between subject and object. Okay. Saying that our true self, our true nature, is not separated into a perceiver, a subject, and a perceived object. It seems like that, like I'm a perceiver over here with these eyes and ears, and they hear the sounds over there and see the colors over there. It seems like that, but this true whole body is not divided into a subject and an object. It's this one seamless whole body, true self. So the poem says, the whole body is a mouth hanging in empty space. Remember, it's a poem about the wind bell. So we can have the image of the hanging wind bell. The bottom of it is open, right? It's an open space. The bottom of the bell, a hanging bell, is just round open space. And sound comes from that space, right? So here the poem is saying the entire body is the mouth, and like an empty circle of space hanging in empty space. This is kind of a Zen poem, right? Instead of saying the whole body is a bell hanging in empty space, it's the mouth of the bell from which sound comes forth. The mouth of the bell is just a circle of empty space, but it's hanging in boundless space. The whole body is a mouth hanging in empty space. Regardless of whether the wind comes from the east, the west, the south, or the north, this bell doesn't care where the wind comes from. It receives whatever wind blows. It doesn't discriminate among the east wind and the west wind. It just it's just hanging there. It's hanging here in space. And when the wind blows, it equally speaks prajna for others. It speaks of this perfect wisdom. It speaks of vast, perfect knowing for the sake of others. Naturally, it doesn't intend to. The wind bell doesn't say, I'm going to ring really loud now, or I'm going to ring really soft now. It just responds to the wind. It just naturally responds effortlessly. And it doesn't care what kind of wind. It responds to every kind of wind. And the way it responds, the way the mouth of this wind bell responds, is to speak vast, perfect knowing. We might say speak of vast, perfect knowing, but maybe more accurate. It just, the speech that comes out of this non-discriminating bell mouth is naturally vast, perfect knowing. For the sake of others. It's not just, the bell just naturally wants to sing for everybody. It doesn't, it's not just singing for its own sake. It's singing to the whole universe. And how does it sound? Ding dong, ding dong. That's the sound of vast, perfect knowing. It just issues forth from this mouth hanging in space. And sometimes the wind is very soft, so it's just ding, ding. Sometimes there's no wind at all, and it's just silent. And sometimes it's a hurricane. And it's ding, 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 ding. And the bell doesn't wish to speak more quietly or speak more loudly. It's just responding. So that's the poem of Dogen's teacher. And we have this journal. Somebody found Dogen's journal when he kept when he was in China, kind of his conversations with his teacher. And in this journal, Dogen goes to Dokusan or meets with the teacher, or maybe he just passing him on the path one day, and he says to his teacher, "I heard your poem on the wind bell." This poem, it was kind of going around the monastery or something. Teacher, your poem says, the whole body is a mouth hanging in empty space. But what is this empty space? Dogen asks his teacher. What is emptiness that you write of in this poem? Dogen asks, is it just the lack of form? Is emptiness just the absence of matter or form? Dogen says, people who doubt the way say this, that, well, I guess emptiness must be the lack of form. Nowadays, even students of the way don't understand Buddha Dharma. They just regard the spaciousness of the blue sky as emptiness. This is regrettable, young Dogen says to his teacher. So, you get the story here. Dogen hears this poem that speaks about the mouth hanging in empty space. And then Dogen wants to understand his teacher's teaching of emptiness, empty space. This is what Prajnaparamita teaches, emptiness. And it's a major issue in Zen, right? Teaching of emptiness. So Dogen says, does emptiness just mean the absence of anything? Like the spacious blue sky that's just like empty sky? And Dogen was kind of doubting this. He said, I think that's how a lot of people understand it, but to me this seems regrettable. And then Rujing, Dogen's teacher, answers and says, emptiness is no other than prajna, or that perfect knowing, premium knowing, timeless, boundless knowing. That's what Rujing says. Emptiness is not just the absence of forms. Emptiness is nothing other than knowing. So Dogen might have been surprised. You might be surprised. I might be surprised. And this conversation with Dogen and his teacher might be the kind of source of this essay that Dogen's writing, where he's those who weren't here the last few days, Dogen keeps saying that it's not that there's no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body. It's that there's a The eye is just nothing but knowing, and the ear is nothing but knowing. The body is nothing but knowing. So Dogen might have got his understanding from this conversation, where Rujing says emptiness is nothing other than timeless knowing. It's not just the lack of form. In other words, emptiness is not just an absence or a lack. It's not nothingness. It's knowing. It's not a one-sided reality, Ru Jing says. And then he also kind of complains a little bit and says, many Dharma elders have not clarified even form, so how can they clarify this emptiness? So it sounds like the gist of this conversation is that emptiness is another way of talking about this spacious awareness, knowing. So, yes, space is empty of form. It's empty of characteristics. It's empty of size and shape. It's empty of coming and going. It's just space that allows everything to appear within it. But this emptiness, according to these Zen ancestors, is not just like empty sky space. It's a knowing space. It's a space that cognizes. It's an aware space. And it's this one that we're all sitting in, right? All of us are knowing a world right now, knowing our experience. Nobody's ever not knowing. But we often don't notice this because we're so focused on the content of knowing. We're so focused on the known, the objects that are known, that we forget that these objects that are known are only happening in this big space of knowing. And in fact, when we look very carefully at a cup like this, we might think that this is a solid, substantial clay cup made of matter appearing in this vast space of knowing. But when we look carefully, we see that actually I can't find any cup in addition to the knowing of the cup. There's definitely a knowing of something that we're calling a cup. We have some experience of this, but we can't find a cup in addition to the experience of the cup. We can assume that there must be like a clay cup, and we're having an experience of the cup. We know we're having an experience of the cup, but we don't know for sure, I would propose. We don't know for sure that there's actually a solid cup made of clay here, because it's happening in the mind, right? It's happening in our experiencing. It's happening in the space of knowing. We know that we're knowing. We don't know for sure that there's something other than knowing. We might assume that there is, but we don't know for sure. But what we do know for sure is that we're knowing, and that this is knowing. And this is something we could explore as good scientists that would not take anything for granted that just because we heard it so, but we want to actually investigate personally, experientially ourselves, and look for and see if we can find anything, any sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, thought, emotion, sensation, any experience. Can we find anything in addition to the knowing of it? Like, are there two things here? Is that we know that there's a knowing of something that we're calling a cup, but is there the knowing of the cup and then this other thing called the cup? We assume that there is, but can we find that other thing called the cup that's the actual cup in addition to knowing of the cup? I don't think we can find it. I think every time we look for something like that, all we find is the knowing. So, very strange. This could, if we're really open to these types of investigations, we can really start to question everything. And this is good. I think it's good to question everything, because a lot of our assumptions cause us great suffering. So after this conversation with Dogen and his teacher, then Dogen gets all kind of like, Dogen's so like impressionable. He gets all emotional about this Windbell poem. He gets all kind of gushy about it. And he goes on for a whole paragraph of like how amazing this poem is. He just praises it over and over and says, "It's my good fortune to have seen this poem, teacher. My robe collar is wet with tears of joy, and I bow day and night in appreciation of this poem." That's the kind of guy that Dogen was. When he heard some Dharma that he really liked. So now that's Dogen's old journal from China. Now Dogen in this essay today quotes this poem of Ru Jing and comments on it a little bit. And for those who are looking at a translation, I'm going to adjust it a little bit. My understanding of how this is translated. Dogen recites the poem and then says, This is how authentic Dharma heirs, after Dharma heirs of Buddhas and ancestors speak prajna. So the way that the bell speaks prajna, just responding to the wind. This is how all the lineage of Zen ancestors all speak prajna. And this is how my teacher, Ru Jing, put it, how he speaks prajna. And then Dogen comments, "The entire body is prajna." Remember, prajna is this Sanskrit term that means like boundless knowing, perfect knowing. The poem said, "The entire body is a mouth hanging in empty space." But now Dogen's comment is, "The entire body is perfect knowing. The entire other is perfect knowing." This is a line from the poem. It speaks prajna for others. So Dogen's pulling out words from the poem. The entire other, like everything we think of as other than ourselves, is just perfect knowing. And this perfect knowing is our self, which means that actually, strictly speaking, there are no others. The entire array of so-called others is just this boundless knowing that we all share. We all share each other in this way. But the way Dogen says it is, all others, the entire others, is this prajna, knowing. We found the sign the other day. Pure practice, depend on prajna, that true dharma shines throughout Jikoji. Pure practice is when everyone is ourself. Of course, we can listen and talk to others as if they're other than ourselves, but we can remember in the background that we are one space of knowing. So. So Dogen says, the entire body is prajna, the entire other is prajna, the entire self is prajna, the entire east, west, south, and north is prajna. It's basically every word in the poem is prajna. So that's how Dogen comments on it here. And elsewhere, Dogen collects together a whole bunch of koans, you know, Zen stories, and he just will recount one of these stories of the Chinese Zen ancestors and then write a comment on it. So he uses his teacher's windbell poem as a koan to contemplate, and then he writes a little verse on it. And that verse is kind of playing with the kind of rewriting Dogen's poem. So this is Dogen's verse in his extensive record. If people want to look at this, it's volume 9, section 58 of Dogen's Eihei Koroku. Dogen says, the whole body is a mouth discerning empty space. Remember, the original poem says, the whole body is a mouth hanging in empty space. Dogen's verse says, the kind of reworking of the poem, the whole body is a mouth discerning or defining or clarifying empty space. So Dogen makes it a little more active. Dogen's mouth, Dogen's bell mouth is not just hanging there in space. It's clarifying space. And the next line is, instead of Ru Jing's line, regardless of, or not, literally it's like, not questioning whether the wind comes from east, west, south, or north. Dogen's reworking is, ever arousing the wind from the east, west, south, or north. So again, instead of just passively receiving the wind, Dogen's bell mouth actually arouses the wind, kind of creates the wind from the east, west, south, and north. And then Ru Jing's third line is equally speaking prajna for others. Dogen puts it as equally tinkling jade. Kind of poetic image, equally tinkling of like a wind bell, equally tinkling, speaking its own words. So he changes for others to equally tinkling, speaking the self's words. Kind of reworks it a little bit, but changes others into self. Di-ding dong, di-ding dong. He left that line alone. So this is what Zen ancestors like to do. They're kind of like, maybe polish their understanding and express their understanding. They build on the previous tradition and tweak it here and there. Ding dong. Ding dong. That sounds like prajna to me. It's just responding to the clock that struck probably 12:30. Quickly just to polish this off, then Dogen quotes the large Prajnaparamita Sutra, where Shakyamuni Buddha said, Shariputra, that's his student, all sentient beings should make offerings and bow to this prajna, just as they make offerings and bow to the living Buddha, they should reflect upon Prajnaparamita, just as they make offerings to and pay respects to the Buddha, the world honored one. Why so? Because Prajnaparamita is no other than the Buddha. You're wondering who the Buddha is. The Buddha is vast perfect knowing. Prajnaparamita. The Buddha said himself in ancient Prajnaparamita sutras. Why so? Because Prajnaparamita is no other than Buddha. The Buddha, the world honored one, is no other than Prajnaparamita. Prajnaparamita is itself the Buddha. The Buddha is Prajnaparamita. Why so? Shariputra, this very awakening of all Buddhas, this enlightenment of all Buddhas, has emerged from Prajnaparamita. Shariputra, Bodhisattva, Mahasattvas, Pratyeka Buddhas, Arhats, never returners, once returners, dream enters. These are all this list of like awakened beings in Buddhism. They've all emerged from Prajnaparamita. Shariputra, the 10 wholesome actions, like the Bodhisattva precepts, the four jhanas, concentration states, the form jhanas and the four formless jhanas, and the five miraculous powers have all emerged from Prajnaparamita, from vast, perfect knowing. Thus, the Buddha, the world honored one, Dogen says, is Prajnaparamita. Prajnaparamita is all things. This teacup is Prajnaparamita, vast perfect knowing. We can't find a teacup other than vast perfect knowing. And then Dogen quotes the Heart Sutra. All dharmas are marked by emptiness. They neither arise nor cease, neither defiled nor pure, and neither increase nor decrease. And then Dogen says, to actualize Genjo, to manifest or actualize Prajnaparamita is to actualize the Buddha. We should inquire into this, study this, practice this, to make offerings and bow to Prajnaparamita is to attend to and serve the Buddha. It is to be the Buddha, attending and serving, or attending and serving Buddhas is being a Buddha. And attending and serving Buddhas is attending and serving vast, perfect space. I'm sorry that we don't have more time for discussion, but I'm also kind of relieved. This might have brought up some questions. If you can find me at lunch, you're welcome to ask anything. But bottom line is whenever we're caught up in any problem, we're stressed or suffering in any way, if we can just step back a little bit from the focus on that issue, the focus on that content, I think any time we have some problem, it's because we're like obsessed with the content of space. I think it's fair to say. It's not we should just forget about it, but just a little bit step back and remember that this content that we're calling a problem is happening in this big unchanging space of knowing. It's always the same and it's always very peaceful. We as people might be totally stressed out and freaking out about this issue we have to deal with. But if we just remember at the same time, this issue is happening in this big, unchanging, peaceful space. It's always peaceful. Then we have just a little different perspective on the problem. It's not like the problem goes away, but it's just, there's a more space around the problem, right? And then we maybe can respond to the problem more appropriately, like the wind bell responding to the wind. So this is a little bit about the Zen understanding of empty space as vast, perfect knowing. And it's awesome that you all, on a cold, rainy day, drove all the way up here on those narrow, windy roads to practice Zazen and to hear about some Dharma. The merit from your intentions is measureless and boundless. All of those of you who are here for the weekend of Sesshin or any part of it, and all of you on the Zoom screen who are either joining today or have been here throughout, your merit is also inconceivable. And so this merit is like the results of our wholesome intentions. And it brings us joy. And so we don't want to hold on to that joy. Let's give it away. In other words, we dedicate the merit to all beings throughout space and time. May they all open to their own vast, perfect knowing.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.